with Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, where it is not -5 degrees. It is a beautiful day, and I am so happy to welcome back to Joy on Paper the 2022 Patsy Award-winning author, and I think one of the greatest. I am so thrilled with this new book. I could just write a review with one word. Love it. Well, no, two words. Love it, love it, love it. Gabrielle St. George, hi, you're back.
Yay. Hey, I am so happy to chat with you again, Patsy. Holy crap.
Oh, wow, this is so cool. It is so cool for you. You're living in my freezer, I think.
Oh, we are like at opposite ends of the world. I am on my farm. It's snowy. There's like some freezing rain, so I'm hoping the internet connection holds. It's darn cold, but we had that crazy storm, you know, over Christmas. You guys, it was pretty cold for you over Christmas, right?
Yeah, it got down to 33 degrees.
I'll tell you how bad it was here. I've never in all my years seen this much snow. And all four of my kids live in Europe. They're all live in London, England right now. And so they were all flying in. I had two of them here. And then two flew in on the 23rd. And it was the night of the storm. So I knew, everyone knew a couple days ahead. So I wasn't comfortable driving because I've moved further north. So I'm like, you know, 3.5 hours drive from me to the airport in Toronto. So I, first of all, got them a couple bus tickets, but 2 days before the storm, they canceled all the buses. So I hired a private driver, and the driver picked them up, and after 5 hours, my kids text me and said, the driver says he can't go any further. So it was just complete whiteout. The roads were impassable. So my two sons went and slept at the driver's house. They don't know him. And then the next day is Christmas Eve. And I think the driver wanted to be with his family. And so a cousin contacted me who I reconnected with when I moved up here. And she had a daughter living in the town where my kids were stranded. So I'd never met her. So my kids spent Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with strangers. But you know what? Everyone opened up their homes to stranded people. That was the good part. But the bad part was, lots of people were on their own for Christmas. But we're getting more this week.
Oh, well, it gives you something more to write about.
That's it. Fodder, fodder, fodder.
Exactly. Oh, the new book, How to Kill a Kingpin. This is book number 2 in this wonderful series, The Ex-Whisperer Files. And when I got the first one, I remember reading it by the pool. And I got such a kick out of it, which is why you were selected for the Patsy Award. But when I got this one, I wanted to go down to the pool and read it. And it was, you know, one of these wonderful balmy days. And then I got so mad at you. I said, oh, she can't do it. She's horrible. She's terrible. This is awful. First of all, she's making me laugh too much. And the people around me think I'm crazy. And then you're writing about food in Toronto. Oh, that's not fair. That's not fair.
It's a foodie world. It is.
This book has everything that I love. First of all, of course, another list. And like me, you like lists, and I love lists. I'm always writing lists. I have tons of lists. And this one starts off, and it's very funny. Top 9 reasons to skip your high school reunion. I love all of them. I thought, oh boy, this is really good. And I think everybody will really appreciate this because the number one is high school was not the highlight of your life. In fact, it sucked. I think a lot of
people. It's true. True for many.
A lot of people can relate to that one. And of course, there's always number 5. I like that one. Having to watch your old exes, old crushes, dad dance. That's... That's one I hadn't thought. That's good. And then, of course, the number 9 is really great. Someone could get murdered, and you might be next. And from there on, the story gets better. You know, you have more fun in the first 3 pages of this book. the most writers have in their entire books. This is just...
Oh, that's so nice.
It's delightful. It's delightful. I love it. Of course, the idea... I think there's a lot of you in this. The Y-O-U, like in the reunion. It's so much fun, all the things that you write about, of course. Explain to us who your main character is, because a lot, I think, is based on you, or at least your personality. And tell us about the ex-Whisperer files and Gina.
I mean, Gina Malone, she really is me, but just like a better version. She's a bit braver, probably a bit smarter, maybe a bit funnier. Definitely braver, though. And that is my mantra for this year, be brave, braver. But, yeah, she's pretty much me. My kids get a kick out of the books because it's like, Mom, this is an autobiography. Not quite, but close. It's true. She turns 50 in the book, the first book, but the second book takes place just a couple weeks later than the first book. And, yeah, she's pushed the restart button on a whole new life. She sells up everything in the Toronto area where she's been for decades and moves back up north to a little tourist town on the shores of Lake Huron. As a Michigander, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. In the summer, sometimes I'm on the beach and I'm like, am I in the Caribbean or Clearwater? And in the winter, it's like, am I in the tundra? Is this the Antarctic or the Arctic? I'm not sure. But yeah, it is pretty autobiographical. And on that note, she does attract a lot of whack jobs, and I have to say that's also autobiographical. And I often wonder to myself, is it a DNA thing? Is it, you know, a magnetic field thing? But can someone like actually physically attract nuts? Because if they can, I'm like, my hand is up, which is weird but true.
When I got it and I'm done at the pool and I'm reading and I just I had a libation and I was just just cracking up, and one after another. Of course, when I got to the, I love books with letters. I've always loved books with letters ever since from Middlemarch on. I just love books with letters, and now of course they're emails.
Right.
But so we start off with we have a reunion, and those things are sort of scary. Now, did you ever do your reunion?
You know what? We only had a reunion at my school when it was like, I think it might have been like 5 or 10 years after I graduated. Oh, maybe, yeah, it was early on. And I think there was one that I missed. I was away. But not a big, huge one in the last like 25 years. No. You? Did you go to yours?
Oh, my gosh, no. not if you paid me.
Right?
No.
I know.
No.
You know, one thing I say in the book, which I think is true, is it's kind of like social media has made a school reunions kind of redundant, because we already get to follow our classmates if we want to, if we're interested, or just like, you know, and honestly creep their walls. But we pretty much know who's got grandkids and what they're doing and where they're living now from Facebook and Instagram. So it's kind of redundant in a way, I think.
Well, yeah, but there's nothing like actually seeing people stuffed into tight jeans that they shouldn't be wearing. I love how you describe Gina as a floater in high school. Were you a floater going between the different groups? Because that's what I was.
I was. I was, you know, with the theater nerds, and I was friends with some of the druggies, and, you know, with the jocks. And, yeah, I could just kind of go around and you know, interact with all of them. Just kind of peripherally, which is pretty much how I do life now, too. Just on the fringe of everybody's stuff.
Yeah, I was the same way. I mean, I was pretty enough and athletic enough to be a cheerleader. And
in fact,
they wanted me to. But then I was the intellectual, probably of the entire school. And somehow it didn't quite mesh. And I also worked. I had a job. I was a candy striper at a local hospital. At 3:30, when that bell rang, I was off to the hospital for the afternoon shift. So it didn't work out. But they were nice to me. They were nice to me because I was pretty. But I was also in the nerdy group because I was the only one who loved Latin so much that for the first time in the school's history, they actually had to do 4 years of Latin because I insisted that I wanted... My Latin teacher was like in hog heaven because she's like, what? Nobody wants. And so we kept it up for 4 years.
That's amazing.
And the last year, there were only five students, and I was doing the homework for three of them. And and the other one who was doing his own homework was mostly because we were translating Ovid, and he wanted to translate all the... Well, let's just say things that he couldn't talk about in English. So it was a lot of fun. But yeah, I was a floater. I did hang out with mostly the nerds because I loved chemistry also. Only two classes I liked, chemistry and Latin, because I'd already read like 5,000 books when I got to high school. So I was a little bit ahead.
Yeah, English wouldn't have been interesting, right? You were so far ahead, it was slow. You sound exactly like I was, too. Even I worked five nights a week and Saturdays. Like, my family didn't have money. If I wanted anything, you know, from the age of 13 on, I was earning my own money. And we did what we had to do, right? And I'm still like that. Whatever needs to get done, whatever needs doing, I do it. Right? It's a bit survivalist, but... you're still ambitious, you still excel. I mean, I skipped a couple of grades too. Look, we're just smarty pants and hard workers. And yeah.
And definitely hard workers, definitely hard workers. And I love in your book, you have two eccentric aunts, and I had a half dozen eccentric aunts. But boy, they are great to have, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, that is a fun thing. That's a fun thing about family. Flip side, there's some real creeps in my family, but the old aunts are great.
Well, you know, we all have them. But I love this spattering of Italian throughout, you know, and aunts kissing your cheeks and that kind of thing. That always makes me feel good when I have that in a book.
Yeah, a lot of people love the aunts. They're faves.
You obviously have a lot of fun writing. I mean, you're getting a kick out of it, and I think it's so nice. I mean, do you sometimes just stop when you write a really great sentence and say, "Whew, man, I'm pretty cool"?
No, I don't do that. But sometimes when I read later, you know, and if I can put work away for a few weeks and come back to it, when I read it later, I'm like, oh, damn, that's pretty good. Who wrote that? You know, someone sneak in the night and get on my laptop. It's like I don't even remember really writing the best stuff. But when I'm writing it, it's mostly me questioning myself. Sometimes I'll chuckle to myself, and then I know I'm on the right track while I'm writing. But mostly it's after the fact.
Let's get back to Gina. Now, she gets, of course, she is the ex-whisperer. She gets, explain why people are writing to her.
So she's an expert on exes. And the thing about, you know, being a horse whisperer or any other kind of whisperer is we kind of assume that they have mastered the art of communicating with whatever that thing is. For Gina, she's good at doling out the advice, but not so great in applying it in her own life. And she's got a crazy ex and, like I said, does attract more. But She's not a psychologist or anything. She's kind of like a Miss Lonely Heart / Dear Abby type. She's got a column, which, you know, newspaper column nowadays, more like a blog and podcast. And she does all those things and writes relationship advice books. And I think we discussed this last time you and I chatted, but I wrote three relationship advice books that my publisher published, and they're written by the ex-whisperer. So they were written by Gina, how to break up with, you know, say how to say so long to Mr. Wrong, and then one on narcissists, and then one to tell if your partner's lying or cheating. So those were just like kind of fun books that I had her write, and that's why she is kind of famous.
So we have a series of letters. I don't want to give everything away, but let's just say somebody writes to her that... he or she is going to make the reunion very interesting. with a little bit of revenge. And I think there are people who do go to reunions with the idea of a little bit of revenge, at least, you know, coming in looking better than everybody else or richer than everybody else. And this person has a little bit of a, it's not the right attitude, let's say.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think you're right. I think people go to reunions for all different kinds of reasons, sometimes just to see, you know, how well everyone else did. But, yeah, a lot of people, you know, go on liquid diets and stuff before they go to a reunion.
I wanted to just read one sentence. It's an example of the kind of sentences you write and you just sort of throw in there. And it's just a, you know, a sentence within a paragraph, but it stands out. It shows the kind of quality of writing that you have. And I'm going to read it because it just struck me. You're writing about people going back to reunions and about the person who is trying to scare people. And all you write, it's a simple sentence. I'm going to read it. Still, because I am me, I take the next hour to sit and stare and elude life. I mean, that is so true. I mean, that's the kind of thing that people do. But you write it down, and I thought, I love that.
That is so nice, and that is a good sentence. Are you sure it's from my book?
Yeah.
That's a good sentence. Someone might have snuck in my house in the night and written that one then when I was asleep.
Well, you know, that's the kind that you can, like, do a little placard and, you know, put it up. Maybe you can get on the list of quotable people, because aww. I think that is really, it's just, well, I don't know, classy writing. I love it. And you have that type of writing throughout the book, that just one little sentence in a paragraph that sets it off from everybody else's writing. Original, clever, thoughtful. I think it's great.
Oh, yeah, I love you so much. You're just the most generous, beautiful person. Thank you.
And I love, I was so worried. Now, we will say that Gina has a love interest, Hugh. And for just a moment, I was really worried that he would have gone to the high school. So he would be at the reunion, and then he might be, well, we'll say, the person who might be seeking revenge from somebody. We don't know if it's a guy or a gal, but, you know, we hope that it's not Hugh, because you have a nice scene there where she does a little bit of kissing that is so observable from her aunt's point of view. I love it. And then you compare him to Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and I thought, yeah, man, I like you.
Yeah, is there a better-looking middle-aged man in Hollywood?
Oh, no. He's great. What a choice. I thought, what a choice. Did you send him a book?
I didn't, no.
What is wrong with you, girl?
I never thought of that.
Are you out of your mind? This guy is, I mean, he's got a following. Lots of women follow him. Please, immediately, you take a book and you write a very, very, very nice message to him. And you send it to him and ask him if he would take a selfie with it. And then ask him if he'd come to visit you.
Ask him if he'd marry me.
I mean, if you're going, that's what I love. When people have somebody like that in their book, it's like, well, when people have mention of Elvis or something, use the famous person that you are writing, or you're using his name, for goodness sakes. I think we'd all like to use this guy.
Right? I guess I just send it to, it's a great idea. I'm going to follow your advice. I guess I could only send it to his agent, though. Who knows if it would ever get to him, but it's worth a shot.
Oh,
for sure.
Yeah. This, again, for him, he needs publicity. They're always looking for publicity. So you send him a beautiful picture of you holding the book. And next thing you know, it'll be on his Facebook page with your write him something really, you know, that's very literary that they would want to quote. And,
I'll actually send him a picture of me holding up my Patsy Award.
Oh.
That is like one of my favorite things of 2022. You just made my year. I wasn't surprised. Patsy, I was shocked and beyond honored, and holy crap, that was amazing. So I'll send him that picture.
And holding How to Kill a Kingpin, yeah, and the Patsy Award, you send it, yeah, to him. And by the way, you know, mention my name. You know, he is gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
He is absolute. Oh, this is see, one of the things I do here, I promote books and I promote authors and I come try to think of clever ways to do it. You have here something so perfect.
You're right. It's a great idea.
And, you know, get your local newspaper. You have a local newspaper. Get them to write a story about it. Have his picture, your picture. Next thing you invite him. Invite him to the next event in your town. You do a parade for him. My goodness, do you know how many women follow him? I mean,
I know loads of women locally.
Oh, just look at his fan base. You've got a winner here. I knew when I read the first book, when I read book one, I said, you know, this is book one, and it's, you know, it's great, and I loved it. But then when I got book two, I said, my gosh, I was so right to select her. Of all the people I could have selected, I knew that we have a winner here. This is a real winner, and you're a real winner in so many ways because you come out with a great character, a great storyline, and you have all this very smart, sophisticated writing in it, yet it's all so accessible and it's so much fun. I'm telling you, I know that we're going to have another book in 2023, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I got to just blow my nose. I'm crying here from what you're saying. I mean, it's so beautiful. Thank you, girl.
Well, I think you are amazing, and I don't have much more time, but I wanted to make sure that I pointed out to you my idea here for publicity. I think that it would be great for you, for me too, because I think it would be wonderful if you're going to invite him up and do a parade for him in your local community, then you can invite me up, and I will join you.
He's more likely to want to go to Florida. I'll come down to you and ask him to come down there.
Well, yeah, we could do that. We have nice beaches here. And it's funny, most people don't realize that, like here, and you have beautiful beaches, just like,
yeah,
we had on Lake Superior, beautiful, long, white beaches. Of course, there we had black flies.
We got some.
I think you're fantastic. I want to have you back on, and we have to talk more about everything. I just could talk to you for hours. But
oh, me too, Patsy. Just what a gal you are. What a great gal you are. OMG, I'm so lucky to have you in my life. Thank you so much, girl.
Well, I think you're wonderful. And tell people your website, and then I'll add one more thing before I let you go.
Yeah. It's my name, GabrielleSt.George.com, and the third book in the series, How to Bury a Billionaire, will be out this year.
Okay, and you will be back, and we will be talking about you, and people, get this book. As I said, 3 pages. My jaw was aching. I love when my jaw aches because I'm laughing so hard. Wonderful book, really great. You're great, and again, it's available online, wherever books are sold, and it is How to Kill a Kingpin. And Gabrielle St. George, you are wonderful. Thank you for being on Joy on Paper today.
Oh, you're a dream, Patsy. You're fabulous. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you.
I love you too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.